Certainly thankful for the presence of each and every one. We do have visitors among us. We're delighted that you've chosen to come our way, and we hope that you'll be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. Appreciate the good prayer that Bill led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Max leading us in singing as we raised our voice in praise to our Almighty God. And appreciate that good reading from the scriptures there in Matthew 18 that Alvin just read for us a few moments ago. Encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open up there to Matthew 18. We're going to spend the majority of our time there this morning as we examine some very valuable lessons from the parable of the unforgiving servant. You see, Jesus spoke many parables to his disciples as a way to illustrate to them some valuable lessons. And the parable of the unforgiving servant is spoken by Jesus in response to a question from Peter. And that question Peter asked was, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Simply put, Peter wanted to know what the standard of forgiveness was. And Jesus answers him by speaking a parable. Therefore, it's important to note that as we examine this parable, that we understand that this parable is about forgiveness. And in this parable, Jesus teaches some very valuable lessons pertaining to forgiveness, and he teaches about the dangers of not forgiving others. So knowing that, let's take some time this morning to take a look at the parable of the unforgiving servant. And let's notice and discuss some very valuable lessons that can be gained regarding forgiveness. And before we dive into this parable this morning, let's first set up the context of this parable. You see, to set the context of this parable, we see that prior to the question that Peter asked, there in verse 21, we see that Jesus just informed his disciples about how to deal with a sinning brother. So, knowing that, we pick up here in verse 21, and I'm going to read Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. After Jesus just described how to deal with a sinning brother, we see in verse 21, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" Notice Jesus' answer there in verse 22. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Again, we see here our first lesson leading up to this parable of the unforgiving servant. And that lesson is, there is no set limit for forgiveness. You see, Peter, again wanting to know the standard of forgiveness, asked, "Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And think about that. Some believe Peter was probably being very generous when he said, "up to seven times." But notice Jesus' response to him. Jesus answered and said, "I say to you, up to seven, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven." Now, I don't know, but if I've got my math right there, Carson, 70 times seven is 490. Now, did Jesus literally mean 490 times and then the 491st time, you don't have to forgive anymore? Is that what he meant? Is that what he's saying? That's not what he meant, is it? You see, to be simply put, when Jesus said 490 times, he said that as a figurative way of saying that the number of times one should be willing to forgive a brother who sins against them is to be unlimited. There is no set amount. And we need to understand that contrary to the thoughts of some, there is no set limit for forgiveness. I venture to say, you, like myself, have in times past heard someone say in regard to offering forgiveness to someone who was in need of their forgiveness, that they would say, "Well, I'll forgive you this time. But I've forgiven you already this many times, and if you do it again, that's it." You ever hear anybody say that before? I venture to say you probably have. I have. I've heard people say that. And when they say that, what they're trying to do is they're trying to set a limit on forgiveness. here we learn that there is no set limit for forgiveness. And Jesus, in response to Peter's question there in verse 21, uses 70 times 7 to illustrate that there is no set limit for forgiveness. He then illustrates this answer further by speaking the parable of the unforgiving servant, picking up here with me in verse 23. Notice this with me in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. By the way, make note in your Bible there, if you take notes. That amount that is declared here as 10,000 talents, it's hard to specifically know exactly how much that was, but it's safe to say that it represents an amount that couldn't be repaid in the servant's lifetime. We go on to see there in verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and the payments be made. Make note there. You see, at this time, it was law that if one couldn't pay his debt, that his family would be sold, that the payment may be made. But notice verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And by the way, that 100 denarii there, it's practically nothing compared to the debt in which he owed. That 100 denarii, it is thought to said, would have been approximately about 100 days' wages. Practically nothing compared to the amount that he owed. But what did he do? He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Does that sound familiar? It does, doesn't it? But notice verse 30. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. There's the parable. Now let's dissect this parable and notice some very valuable lessons. First and foremost, we learn from this parable that forgiveness involves compassion. And we must never forget what we ourselves have been forgiven from and lack compassion for others. Did you notice that? As we read through this parable, did you notice what was involved in forgiveness? Compassion. Compassion. And you see, the servant in this parable, he failed. He failed by forgetting how much he was forgiven of. He forgot about the compassion and the mercy that his master showed him by forgiving him of his unpayable debt. Did you catch that? You see, as this parable began, we learned about this king who went to settle accounts with a servant as he came to this one servant who owed 10,000 talents, this unbearable amount of money which he was unable to pay. What did he do? Literally, he begged the man, didn't he? He begged him. As we see there in verse 26, he fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. You can kind of just see him there, kind of on his knees, maybe even grabbing a hold of his pant legs there, just begging. You get that picture, don't you? And what was the result? Verse 27, the master of the servant was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him of that debt. You see that? You see, what this servant thought that he needed was he thought he needed time. He thought he needed time. He begged this his master to be patient with him, to allow him more time so he would be able to pay. But what he needed wasn't time, he needed forgiveness. And what that master did when he was begged for that patience, he was moved with compassion. And he gave that servant what he needed. Forgiveness. But we go on to see that same servant, he didn't have that same type of compassion that his master had on him, though, did he? He must have forgot himself what he had just been forgiven of. Because we go on to see there, in verse 28, but the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Get that picture in your mind. Kind of just grabbing one by the throat and just holding him there, sucking the life out of him. Not a pleasant image, is it? But that's what he did. He took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. Just the opposite of what his master did in showing compassion, right? Just the opposite. And notice there in verse 29, as his fellow servant fell down and begged him, saying the exact same thing that he pleaded for his master. Notice the response. Was he moved with compassion? No. But rather, what did he do? He threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. You see, again, we need to be mindful that this servant in this parable failed by forgetting how much he was forgiven of and by forgetting about the compassion and mercy that was shown toward him. And he would not, therefore, extend the same kind of compassion and mercy to his fellow servant who owed him almost nothing compared to the debt in which he was forgiven. You see, when I think about that, sometimes I think about how even sometimes Christians find themselves doing the exact same thing toward their offenders. You see, sometimes Christians, they find themselves in the exact same place as this unforgiving servant. They too sometimes forget just how much they themselves have been forgiven of by God. And then when someone comes around and offends them, they're unwilling to express the same type of compassion and mercy toward their offender, just as this unforgiving servant was. And brethren, we need to be mindful that we must not find it hard to forgive, knowing just how much we have been forgiven by God. You see, there's not a one of us in this room who have not gravely sinned against God. We learn in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes you and that includes me. Not a one, brother. Not a one of us have not gravely sinned against God. But yet, we need to keep in mind that although we all have sinned against God and are all deserving of punishment, that because of God's great love, mercy, and compassion for you and I, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, to this earth to die for our sins. He did that because He wants to pardon and forgive us of our enormous debt. And I want you to think about something. I want you to think about it as we all think about how we've all sinned against God. I want us to think about the fact that No man can possibly offend us to the extent that we have offended God when we sinned and fallen short of His glory. Remember that. No man can possibly offend you and I, hurt you and I, as much as God, our Father in heaven, hurts when we sin against Him. Not a one. And I want you to think about something else. And I want you to keep this in mind. When we think about sinning against God, and we think about when others sin against us, you see, there is no sin that others could commit against us that is significant compared to the sins we have committed against God. You see, the sins that we have committed against God, they're like that 10,000 talents. But the sins that others commit against you and I, they're like that 100 denarii. They're incomparable. They're insignificant compared to our sins against God. But yet, our Father in heaven, He is faithful. He is just. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is loving. And He is willing to pardon and forgive. And I'm here to tell you, my beloved brethren, each and every one of us need to be mindful of that. When others are in need of our forgiveness, we need to never forget just what we ourselves have been forgiven of from God. We must never forget His love, mercy, and compassion. And we must never lack compassion, mercy, and love toward others. Remember that. Remember just what God has done and shown us in times when we are tempted to withhold forgiveness. And let us not make the mistake that the unforgiving servant made. Let us always remember just how God has shown compassion, mercy, love towards us. And may we do the same. And may we always remember why we forgive. You see, we forgive because we have been forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Paul says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now watch it. Even as God in Christ forgave you. We also forgive to be obedient children of God. We see that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, where the instruction is given. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. Now watch it. So you also must do. You see that? Did Paul say there, so you should do if you feel like it? He didn't, did he? But rather he said, so you also must do. You know what that key word must means? It means it's not an option. You don't have a choice. If you're going to be an obedient child of God, you're going to take heed to that instruction. You're going to bear with one another and you're going to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave you. But here's another reason why we forgive. We forgive so that God will forgive us. Did you know that our forgiveness from God hinges on our forgiveness from others? You aware of that? You see, Jesus Himself made us aware of that there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. And He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now watch it. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Remember that, brethren. Remember that. And may we all always keep in mind not only the reasons for why we forgive, but also the fact that forgiveness involves compassion. And we must never forget what we ourselves have been forgiven from. But here's another lesson that we can learn from this parable. We learn here in verse 31 that one's unwillingness to forgive is noticed by others around them. and it causes them to become very grieved. Notice that again with me in verse 31. After this unforgiving servant put his hands on his throat of his fellow servant and throwed him into prison. It says in verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they what? They were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. I want you to notice that. You see, we see here in verse 31 that others witnessed the meanness of the unforgiving servant. And what did that cause them? How did that cause them to feel? It caused them to be very sorry. It caused them to be very grieved or very troubled for what they saw. I stopped there to ask this question. How many times have you seen that? How many times have you seen that? How many times have you witnessed the meanness of a person towards another out of lack of forgiveness? I venture to say there's some of us here who have seen that. Now I ask, how did that make you feel? How did it make you feel when you witnessed the meanness of a person who is unwilling to forgive another? How did that make you feel? I venture to say it made you feel the very same way these people felt when they witnessed the meanness of that unforgiving servant. I venture to say that it made you feel very sorry. That it made you feel very grieved and very troubled at what you saw. And indeed, it does, doesn't it? It hurts when you see fellow Christians acting meanly towards others due to an unwillingness to forgive. It hurts. It makes us feel very grieved in our hearts, doesn't it? But I don't know about you. But me, when I see that, I hurt more for the person, for what they're doing to themselves, than what they're doing to the other person. I hurt. I hurt not only for what that person is doing to the one that has offended them. I hurt for that person because there's no person that deserves to be treated in an unfairly manner like that. But I hurt more for what that person is doing to themselves. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we are blind to our own sinful conduct, aren't we? Sometimes we're blind to our own sinful conduct. However, others around us can see and observe our sinful conduct even when we may be blind to it. And that's why I hurt. I hurt for that person. Because they're blind to their own sinful conduct when they conduct themselves in that manner. But more importantly, brethren, we need to keep in mind. We need to keep in mind not only the fact that others can see one's unwillingness to forgive, but more importantly, the fact that God sees and knows. You see, we may try to pull the wool over the eyes of those that are around us, but we're never going to pull the wool over God's eyes, are we? He sees all. He knows all. And we need to be mindful of that. And we need to always never forget that the cruelty and the meanness and one's unwillingness to forgive is noticed by others who are around. And it hurts them to see such. But here's another lesson that we can learn from the parable of the unforgiving servant. And that is the fact that an unwillingness to forgive is wickedness. Did you know that? Did you know that an unwillingness to forgive is wickedness? You see, notice with me there in verse 32. Where the unforgiving servant was called a what? A wicked servant. Why? Because he did not show the same compassion on his fellow servant that was shown to him. You see, we see here in verses 32 and 33. The fact that an unwillingness to forgive is wickedness. It is sin. And we need to be mindful of that, brother. We need to understand that if we have an unwilling heart to forgive, we're in sin. You see, think about this. If this is not so, then why would there be punishment for it? You see, if an unwillingness to forgive, if it's not sin, then why would there be punishment for it? However, Jesus teaches that an unwillingness to forgive is wickedness, because the master punishes the servant who was unwilling to forgive and show compassion and have mercy toward another. That unforgiving servant, he got punished by his master. Why? What did he get punished for? His wickedness. Think about that. And remember this, my beloved brethren. Another very valuable lesson from this parable. Not only the fact that an unwillingness to forgive is wickedness, but also the fact that those who are unwilling to forgive will be punished. That's serious, isn't it? That's serious. You see, it was just wrong for a man who had been forgiven of so much to then be so unforgiving and uncompassionate toward another. It's just wrong. And we see that because of this wickedness, that the wicked servant, he got what he deserved. He got justice instead of mercy. You see, there are many today who think that when they are withholding forgiveness from another, that they're punishing that person that they're withholding forgiveness from. They think that really what they're doing is that they're punishing that person who offended them. But you want to know the fact of the matter? When one withholds forgiveness, ultimately they're punishing themselves. That's who they're really punishing. They're punishing themselves. And we need to be mindful of the fact, brethren, that those who will not forgive must not expect to be forgiven. We talked about that already, didn't we? They must not expect to be forgiven, but rather those who are unwilling to forgive, they must expect punishment. Because that's what they're going to have coming to them. You see, when I think about that, I'm mindful of what James said there in James chapter 2 and verse number 13. And there James said, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Let that marinate for a moment. Judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. I also can't help but to think about, when I think about this and I think about the punishment that is given ultimately to those who are unwilling to forgive others. I think about how the ultimate punishment for unforgiveness, how it will be unbearable. It'll be unbearable. You see, we think that we're again punishing the one that we're withholding forgiveness from. And we think that because ultimately we may not realize just how severe our punishment's going to be until we're there. But on that day of judgment, we just learned that there's going to be no mercy for those who show no mercy. You know what that tells us? That tells us that the ultimate punishment for unforgiveness, it's going to be unbearable. It's going to be something that we cannot even begin to imagine. How terrible it's going to be. You see, it's going to be in hellfire, ultimately. And as we're going to talk about next Sunday morning, Lord willing, hell is no joke. Hell is no joke. But we need to be mindful that that's going to be the eternal destiny of those who are unwilling to forgive. They will ultimately be punished in hell fire. And as we remember the punishment of the unforgiving servant, as we remember that punishment, we remember one who was thrown in prison and handed over to the tortures. I want you to keep something in mind. I want you to keep in mind that it has been said, and I quote, "The world's worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. For those cause their own torment by refusing to forgive others." End quote. Remember that. Remember that. And never forget that the ultimate punishment for unforgiveness will be unbearable. But here's another lesson that we can learn from the parable. And that comes there from the last verse, verse 35. And that is the fact that forgiveness, it must come from the heart. You see, when Jesus said here that my heavenly Father also will do to you, that's talking about punishment there, will also do to you from due to each of you, will do if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. When he says that, he's simply telling us the fact that forgiveness, it must come from the heart. It must come from within, the innermost part of man. Now, it's important to note that the Greek word translated forgive here literally means to let go. Make note of that. That Greek word translated forgive, it literally means to let go. Knowing that, we need to understand that going through the motions and giving lip service to forgiveness, it's not going to cut it. It's not good enough just to tell someone you forgive them. But rather, it must come from the heart, which involves letting go of anger. It involves letting go of pride. It involves letting go of selfishness. It involves letting go of bitterness. It involves refusing to dwell on the offense. Simply put, when forgiveness comes from the heart, it is a complete letting go. It's a complete letting go. It's a complete letting go of resentment of any kind and any thought of retaliation. And remember this, brethren. Remember, when you let go of all those things we talked about, when you let go of anger, pride, selfishness, bitterness, resentment, it's going to set you free. It's going to set you free. You see, freedom comes as a result of forgiveness. Did you know that? You see, it has often been said that one does not know the weight of something until they feel the weight of its release. How true. You see, one really don't know just how much an unforgiving heart really weighs them down until they feel that weight of that release. Until they just let go. They let it go. Remember that. Remember that and never hold on to anger, bitterness, or resentment of any kind toward another. But rather let it go. Knowing that freedom comes as a result when you truly forgive. However, if we forgive in words only and not from the heart, we will remain under the same condemnation. Again, may we all learn from these valuable lessons that can be gained from the parable of the unforgiving servant. And may we all understand the importance of forgiveness and be one who puts into practice the lessons that we have learned here this morning regarding forgiveness. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have your sins forgiven. We're about to sing a song titled, Nothing But the Blood. And you, by confessing your belief in Jesus, by repenting of your sins and turning to God, you can be baptized this very hour and have your sins forgiven. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather one must continue to keep on keeping on. One must continue to remain faithful unto death, for as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. But maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour, while you still have the opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist in the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than happy to assist you in any way we can. Won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.